PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week once again is my good buddy, Danny Lee of UST Mamiya fame. How are you, my friend?
Good, brother. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing great. Listen, it's February here. I golfed recently, so I'm not scowling as much as I normally would be. You're not as familiar with that. You got pretty decent weather out there, didn't you?
Actually, spring looks like it's coming early this year, and unfortunately, I haven't touched a golf club in terms of just outside of the office. So it's been like 70 degrees, and I've not taken advantage of a round this year at all. So I'm kind of mad at myself, and I probably won't touch it until the end of March since I have a Japan trip early March.
Okay. So you have, I'm assuming the setup's still the same as the last time I was there. So you actually have an indoor simulator setup.
I do.
Do you use it?
Yeah, I do. We set it up, and I try to get on there about, you know, during my breaks or lunch break, whatever. I'll spend about, you know, 15 minutes a day at least hitting. So it's not too bad. Yeah. It's, you know, just trying to get the, knock the rust off, you know, with drivers, testing all the new drivers right now and just seeing at least what I'm going to play with new drivers for, this year. Got some new irons, new putters. So got everything new except the fact that I can't even get on a golf course. So,
okay. So this is actually an unintended off course moment already. You have lots of options from lots of the OEMs. So certainly there's no shortage of potential to incorporate into your product. Is it an interesting time to get the year started to see how your lineup operates with your swing or people's swing from the office in these different heads that come out?
Yeah, for sure. You know, everyone is always thinks, hey, you know, for example, you know, previous generation to next generation, it should be real similar, put in the same shaft and you should get the same results, but it's not the case. You know, they're always tweaking different things here and there in terms of, you know, what misses are good for each player, right? So for me, it's always been like, you know, trying to find a head that works with my toe miss, my high toe miss, that the spin is not crazy, super low where it's a snap hook. I want something that stays in play. So for me, it's always finding that forgiveness that finds a fairway or finds the rough with a miss hit, yeah, at least with a driver.
Okay. What do you know what that head's going to be this year? Are you willing to say? Leading the charge?
Right now, Cover Dark Speed. I'm testing all three different heads. Initially, I got the LS head, and it's a great driver if you hit close to the sweet spot, which I don't. So I'm, you know, then the X and then the Max. It's they're both kind of, you know, the Max is obviously kind of more of a draw bias product, but the launch and spin and the forgiveness on that head is really good. So I'm toying with it on different configurations. So right now it's a battle between that and the X head in terms of what I'm seeing. The ball speed for me this time of year where I don't play a ton of golf is incredible. So there's something to this head where I'm seeing robust ball speed across the entire face.
It's probably all that off-season workout you've been doing, yeah?
Yeah. Watching my girls play volleyball, watching her cheer. So yeah, that's helped my speed training a lot.
So I've been a test dummy of yours before, and while it was a thrill, it was also a bit of a, I don't have a word to replace mind bleep, but anyways, what I found fascinating about that was it's just an opportunity to try different things and experiment and have a little bit of fun on that end. But I assume there's a fair bit of that that goes on in the office as well.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's fun because the engineers and myself and, you know, relative to different people in different departments always want to try different things, right? There's always the tried and true, what works on tour in terms of what the players are looking for. But the fun really begins when you're diving to different aspects of a golf shaft, right? You know, everyone's always, it's like, hey, you know, the golf shaft is a LARS, right? You know, so it's always been like, hey, there's a flex designation and stuff like that. So we're toying with different ideas of concepts, you know, whether it's a lightweight shaft, whether it's a standard weight, you know, 50, 60 gram shaft, heavyweight, whatever works for that golfer. So we're always testing different things to see, hey, this guy struggles with launch and spin, or this guy struggles with direction or speed, whatever it is. And we have so many different prototypes that we always test with. Now, what makes it to retail, what makes it to tour is a different thing, right, altogether. Because, you know, how do we market it? How do we get that product in the right hands? Some products can be marketed and some can't be because they're non-conforming. So we're, you know, we test non-conforming stuff too as well from a shaft perspective. But those never get released. Those are more just experimental type products where we're trying to see if it works or not. So it's, we, you know, there's a shaft that we launched last year, not launched, but tested at THB, and Josh has one, I have one. Various people in the office has one too, and it's a phenomenal product in terms of what it does for varying swing speed from a guy that swings 80 miles per hour to a tour player that swings 120 miles per hour. So we're excited about this product, and hopefully we can launch it maybe next year sometime.
So I feel like the concept around shaft flex, shaft weight has changed a lot over the last couple decades. And what's fascinating to me is that there's been a bit of a shift in not only the weight that the stronger players are using, but even the flex code seems to be wildly different from an assumed reasonable window as it was even 10 years ago. I've read some things about guys, even on the long drive tour, who are swinging just absurdly fast and absurdly hard. They're using the softest flex they can find.
Yep.
Why is that happening? What is the goal there?
Speed, really. You know, you look at kind of what AutoFlex did. It's a softer shaft. I mean, we've always had it. You know, just a really, I wouldn't say super light, but like light enough and flexible enough where it generates speed. And you see those long drive guys, or you see how those shaft flex when they're swinging. It's incredible. So, you know, we had a long drive guy here that worked for us for years, and he always believed in different things and, you know, super lightweight stiff shaft, right? And then all of a sudden he wanted to go like a 60 gram light flexible shaft. And this is several years ago, before all the craze happened, and we tested, and it seemed to work. And so we developed something that's unique into the marketplace, you know, and, you know, the whole thing, the flex idea, to me, you know, like, the butt means nothing, and that's what gets measured all the time. Like, hey, you know, this is a frequency at 300 CPM or 290 or 280, whatever it is in the butt section. To me, that section is not as critical as more the mid and tip side, where you're able to control launch, spin, and feedback from that golfer, right? The soft shaft, you can make a super soft shaft in the hands, but if you make the mid and tip section a little stiffer, lower torque, whatever it is, you have a lot more control. So to me, you know, every company's different in terms of what they think is the right flex, but for the most part, like a tour part is a tour part. So that really never changes. But for the average golfer, I think there's a big difference in terms of the different flex properties.
Do you have a perspective at UST Mamiya as to leaning more one side of things? I feel like there are some companies who tend to lean a little bit more feel oriented, so a little bit softer in the hands, and there are some companies that don't seem to be too concerned with that and are willing to go as boardy as possible, and I have like specific shafts in mind, but I'm not going to venture into that. Is there is there an argument that you tend to lean towards with your group, or is it whatever works at the time based on the player profile?
I think, you know, for the most part, like we tested for a kind of a, you know, right now we're testing for Ricky, trying to do some stuff for him, and he likes it softer in the hands, you know, at least with his current gamer, but then really stiff in the tip side. So, you know, you have a guy that's relatively quick transition, flat, And so you need something, you know, more stable down there. So he wants, you know, something really stiff in the tip side. So, you know, for us, it depends on what we're trying to do with launch and spin too as well. So a lot of times if we're making a shaft a little softer than tip, we're going to make the butt side maybe a little stiffer to feel like you get a little more control. So it's a feel thing on the butt side, on the CPM side. So I think it's all over the map. I mean, I can't pinpoint something. We have a range, what we think is a ARS X flex on the butt side. But then at the same time, we have an X shaft, Tour X shaft, that is actually like a stiff flex on the butt side. But then you go to the tip side, it's a lot stiffer. So it depends on what we're trying to accomplish in terms of launch and spin.
Yeah, I feel like with at least with examples like recoil, the amount of feedback you get, the feeling you receive when you hit it is very flush. And, you know, I can't say the same for all graphite shafts in the very wide range of options that we have. But like the idea that you have recoil as sort of a benchmark, I guess you could say, and then alternatives that exist around it that maybe bend that needle a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, specifically with recoil, that's an interesting take, right? You know, obviously, when I joined the company, we were starting developing that product, and it was an interesting concept. I was a big believer in terms of technology, utilizing the best materials to make the best product available. You know, I was, you know, I played steel just because that was available before I joined UST MMEA, and I believed in graphite. And I had various companies send me graphite options when I was at an OEM and played it and always loved graphite. And when I joined UST MMEA, I was like, wow, this is, why is this working so well, right? And it's because of the recoil technology and the spring effect, the wall thickness, you know. So there's an optimal wall thickness for each different weight category, meaning a lightweight. You probably need a little bit of higher hoop stiffness, whereas a heavier weight, you need a little bit lower hoop stiffness. So it's a wide range of different things that you need to incorporate. You need to test out, vet out with golfers to see what they feel, right? And ultimately, golfers are going to tell you, yeah, this is great, but it feels like crap, or this doesn't work, but it feels great. So, you know, you got to find a happy medium for as many golfers as possible. You're not going to make everyone happy. You know, everyone's like, oh, I need 130 gram iron shaft. I was like, we make 120 gram, but you know, for us, the amount of parts that move out in terms of, you know, that 60 to 80 gram category is a lot more significant than what we see at the, you know, 120 gram range.
It's interesting you said making people happy, because first of all, in golf, it's a very challenging thing to do when you're stuck dealing with their swing to accommodate them. One of the things I think is so fascinating about shafts is you can read a profile all day long on the internet, and then you go hit it for yourself and you say, well, this is operating in a totally different window than I expected. And I think a lot of that has to do with how unique our swing IDs are. My question that surrounds that is, as you attempt to accommodate and satisfy all people, is how do you get around that? How do you deal with the variety of golf swings?
I mean, yeah, everyone has a unique approach, right, to how they swing the golf club, but ultimately how they deliver it, there's some patterns there, because how one person goes over the top and gets the impact and cut across the face, right? Or how a person goes from inside out. So everyone gets the impact a certain way, you know, whether it's real loopy swing or real traditional swing or real flat swing, whatever it is, what you're looking at is impact. How do you affect impact in terms of getting less droop on the driver, irons, whatever it is? How do you stabilize the impact position? You know, like, typically, people, you know, when they hit a driver, they hit off a tee, right? So, you know, we talk about torque, right? Meaning, like, for example, when you hit out of a rough with an iron, torque is more important there because you're trying to stabilize that impact as much as possible. Whereas you're hitting off a tee, that impact is gone. That ball is gone once you hit the face, and torque, again, is not as big as influence. It's more of a feel thing, right? Tour players will say it feels tighter. Recreational player, if the shaft is too stiff, will say this feels too stiff. So there's a happy medium there. So I think, you know, I think the impact location, most people will either cut across it inside out, down or up. So it's relatively all similar. You know, you have golfers that are all over face, you have golfers consistent. So I think you can narrow that down to how do we get the head back to the point where the golf ball is going to fly better for that golfer. You know, hey, you know, that golfer that who slices over the top, how do we minimize that impact location to where the ball is not slicing as much, you know, where it's not slicing 20, 30 yards. Now it's slicing 20 yards instead of 30, right? So trying to minimize the miss as much as possible with certain things that we do in terms of, you know, the profiles and whatnot.
I want to challenge the structure of shaft releases from UST Mamiya. I think it's very interesting that you have products that have unbelievable amount of staying power. I mean, you can look down your lineup and think about shafts that have been around for a very long time.
Correct.
And shafts that people are very familiar with. I assume the end goal of every new concept you come out with is to create a shaft that has massive staying power.
For sure. I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, most recently, last decade, I guess, when you look at releases of drivers, you know, when we first started the industry, you know, I've been in the golf business, what, now 24 years. And, you know, when you had drivers out there, it was always a driver that was released maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 years lasting power, right? And then fast forward to 24, all these companies now are releasing a new driver pretty much every year, right? And so at that time, when you look at, you know, for example, the Laker shaft or whatever you want to call it, the Pro Force Gold had a lasting power. It was, you know, I saw a thread on the forum that talked about, hey, remember Golfsmith? Those were the days where, you know, people would go and go to Golfsmith and order a Pro Force Gold 65, 75 and build their own stuff. And so you had V2, again, some iconic shafts in the marketplace where these products live a long time. And, you know, today it seems like everyone was with the next latest and greatest. And so for us, having Link around for the last, you know, several years, having Recoil brand for the last decade plus, you know, being the number one graphite shaft out there, it's good for us to, you know, validate the product. You know, we're obviously always working on something, tweaking something, profile, whatever it is, to see if we can make it better. But if ultimately what happens is the golfer will tell us, hey, you know what, I'm tired of this product. You know, one of the most popular shafts out there are competitors. They've been out there for, you know, roughly 7, 8 years and it's going strong. And so, you know, we're trying to, you know, we're trying to play catch up. And I think there's areas of improvement and we're always looking to innovate. And a bunch of engineers here, a bunch of smart people that work for the company, excluding me. So it's nice to have them, you know, work on products for us.
One of the products that's always interesting and we don't see it a ton here, but it's every once in a while it sneaks into a bag as a toss.
Yes.
What is the structure of that product and how has that evolution changed?
You know, a toss, I think it's first and foremost, it's our Japan branded product. You know, if the guys out there don't know, we took over US team in Japan a couple of years ago. So we've been working with them in terms of developing products. You know, they launched Link last year into the marketplace in Japan. And so right now we're in the process of developing new ATOS structures. I think a product that we're trying to put the latest and greatest in terms of materials, design philosophy, you know, for that particular product, for that particular market. You know, you have two different segments, Japan market, pretty much Asia, and then you know, US is slightly different segments in terms of the golfers. When you look at Japan market, the golfing population is really aging. You know, you look at demographics versus USA, they're almost like 10 years older than the average age here in the United States, and you know the average age in the United States is relatively old. So Japan is aging fast, and they're losing golfers at a considerable rate over there. need more golfers in Japan. So the product design philosophy is always going to be catered around that particular golfer. It's going to be about feel. It's going to be about performance. How do we get, you know, maximum carry, maximum distance with a driver, for example? And then, you know, when we do the TX Flex, which is, you know, again, going to be for the better player, for the tour players, that different category, right? But it's ultimately about feel and performance in that area.
Yeah, I actually have a story about TX and Atos. One of the buddies ended up with one in his driver years ago, and I don't think it was intended to go in there. I think it was supposed to be a stiff, and he couldn't figure out why he couldn't elevate the ball at all. And as it turns out, it was this unbelievably different structure. And someone saw it. We were at a fitting or a lesson or something. He goes, "Why do you have this in here?" That's part of the fun, right? Is there is a lot of variety in the options you can create, especially with tour spec. It seems like there's always something unique that gets incorporated into it. Or like the double X Flex that you sent me, like see what you think about this, Dan. And
yeah, he was like, "Oh, it's not stiff enough." It's a really funny dynamic where people, I don't know where this, you know, obviously years ago, but people are like, "Oh, you know, graphite is weaker than steel," and it's like, no, it's actually the opposite. It's with graphite, we're able to do a lot more with the shaft from a standpoint of from the butt to the tip and design it whatever way we want to. And you know, like you said, we designed a part that was like really, really stiff just to test out, right? Just because we got feedback, hey, you know, these guys on tour are coming out and, you know, the average swing speed used to be 115 plus. Now it's, you know, creeping up to 120, 125 for these younger generation golfers, right? They're training, speed training. And all these guys are swinging 120 easily. And they're leaving a lot in the tank too. That's the funny part is, when you watch tour, these guys, they're swinging like 70%, right? They're not swinging full out yet. And obviously the demand for a little bit more stable parts are needed slightly, not much though. I mean, they're still playing these 6TX, 7TX parts that we put out there. So it's interesting.
Is the gap widening a little bit between amateur golf and pro golf from that aspect, from a shaft perspective?
I don't think so. You know, it's, I think, you know, when you have a certain profile, I think it's all about profile for that golfer, how they deliver it, whether attack angle, you know, whether if they're a neutral, positive, negative, you know, they're going to need different things on the shaft side. It's just with the tour guys, they just need something that's a little bit more stable. So it's just a little stiffer, right? So different materials utilized to get there and how we lay the angle bias and stuff like that. So it's just different things that we do to get that tour player to like that shaft. But then at the same time, if you get to an S and R Flex into a slower swing speed, it's a similar profile because we're using the same mandrel for the most part. So the internal geometry of the shaft is really what dictates the feel and the performance for most golfers. Like you mentioned earlier, we could design a shaft that has identical specs on paper. Two shafts, identical specs on paper. And if we design it with different mandrels and you go hit it, you're like, wow, these are two different shafts, even though they have the same specifications because of how it feels. And so the golfer might change how they deliver the club head because of how it feels.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most understated arguments when selecting a shaft is just pure delivery and the way people change their style of play based on that. And I've been a long time person where I've leaned softer because it means I can swing smoother. Because if I don't get enough feeling of load, if I feel like I need to load the shaft because it's so stout, I typically struggle to maintain good solid tempo. So I'm effectively changing my swing based on the shaft, which I think we are creatures and inherently will do that regardless of whether it's intentional or not. So
yeah, it's just true. I mean, like, for example, just not shaft related, but like lie angle, for example, you know, a guy, you give a guy who maybe is 2 degree flat and have a 4 degree upright iron, they could change how they deliver the club head to get the ball to go fly straighter, right? You know, I've seen tour players and they like Barnhart Longer would, hey, you know, whatever, all of a sudden at 4 degree upright and he'll adjust whatever he needs to adjust. And all of a sudden he's hitting a straighter again, right? Because of how he sets up or how he delivers it. So, you know, we as golfers, we change our habit based on what we're seeing ball flight. So we try to adjust, right? Guys who slice it, like, let me aim more left, right? When that's really not the case. Yeah. What you want to do, let me aim it more left, and they slice it more right.
Yeah.
So again, that's our job, is how do we help that out as much as possible from the shaft side.
Okay. I'd love to know about where Link is right now, especially from a tour perspective. It's been out for a while. I know you've had it available. Is it a couple years now?
Yeah, several years. I mean, obviously, okay. Original Link Gunmetal Purple, those came out. Those are really good structure. We had a lot of success out on tour, but it's just one of those things where, hey, you know, the color of the purple was kind of, you know, trying to put it into a certain OEM head was a struggle. So we toned it down with the Link M40X with the white, blue, and red, where, you know, the IP, we call it IP number 8, which is kind of a bluish, blackish finish, and it's rich and it goes with anything. That's a stock shaft in the Cobra Dark Speed drivers. You know, we have it in both the LSX and Max Head, all three different profiles to fit that golfer, and then, you know, custom option in pretty much every OEM out there. You know, so it's exciting for us with that particular profile. We have that same profile on tour, so we're able to fit the best players in the world based on, you know, what they're trying to accomplish, whether it's, you know, a little bit lower launch or higher launch, whatever it is. And so it's nice to have a mix of product where that OEM or that tour player can be able to fit into the Link profile.
So what has just in general the tour feedback been? Has it been increasing as you moved into M40X? Has it changed at all?
No, it's increasing a lot. You know, just, you know, we're relatively, you know, any given week we're, you know, number 3, number 4, number 5 on tour. Korn Ferry Tour, we're able to affect it a little bit more. And so basically, you know, one of the, you know, end of the year, we would have close to about 40 plus Link shafts in play, you know, mainly drivers and fairway wood. So, you know, that number years ago was really low. So we put a lot of effort into the brand. You know, when I first started the company, our focus was how do we change the landscape of iron shafts? And that's where Recoil was, you know, put on the map. And that was our focus for the last decade plus. And so the last couple of years we've been shifting, you know, we're still focused on Recoil, but we shift a lot of efforts into promoting Link. And I think we're seeing the dividends in terms of what usage we see on Korn Ferry PGA Tour. So we're seeing a lot more usage there, that product. And I think having in the right hands of different players, you know, we're trying to get, you know, certain players that are going to, you know, move the needle for us and get a lot of attention. So I think, you know, our goal is to become, you know, number 3, number 2, you know, this year, next year, and just continue to grow that brand as much as possible.
Is it unique? You mentioned Korn Ferry Tour. Is it unique tour to tour? What guys or gals are selecting? What's the trend?
Yeah, you know, I think on Korn Ferry, it's easier for us because we can work directly with the players. Whereas PGA Tour, it's a little bit more difficult, more challenging, just because we have to go through the OEM reps, because, you know, these guys are, you know, contracted with, you know, whether it's, you know, Cobra, Callaway, Titleist, get paid a lot of money by those guys to play their product. So, you know, there's a certain chain of command that we try to follow. You know, I think ultimately our tour guys do it the right way. And then Korn Ferry, where, you know, we can work more closely with the players. I think Korn Ferry, you see a lot of guys that are a little bit stronger, right? Meaning different profiles and different swings all over the map. So you need a unique products, and we have that to be able to fit guys, right, into a certain product.
So I've seen some of this shift from perspective go toward things like college and even younger than that, some of these amateur tours. Is there a plan to do much of that, or is that more an organic?
No, we do some of that too as well. You know, our goal is whenever we're traveling, the tour guys are traveling to certain events, we can, you know, look at colleges around that area. So we have a college program set up. So again, the focus there is, you know, get that younger guys who get familiar with the USTMMA brand, get familiar with Link, Recoil, whatever it is, All In, Putter Shaft, which is another one that's been kind of growing for us too as well. and then you know, AJGA and kind of the smaller programs. So these guys get involved in junior programs as much as possible, and we help out. And we also partner with our OEM partners to look at what they're doing on the junior side, and maybe we can help out with providing shafts and stuff like that. So we're hitting as many areas as possible, you know, in the US, in Japan. We're focused on the JLPJ over there. It's a big influence for us in that market, just because a lot of the golf participation, golf watching, is really the JLPJ in over there versus the PGA Tour here.
Okay. You mentioned putter shafts, so I think we need to venture around a little bit with that. It's always interesting seeing the different concepts out there, and especially when it comes to a combination of materials or a belief in loads of feedback versus no feedback. What is the UST Mamiya perspective on putter shafts right now?
Well, if you look, you know, a decade plus ago, we launched like a frequency filter putter shaft, and it was kind of the first one really in the marketplace in terms of something that was unique. You know, you had a graphite section with a frequency filter diffuser basically to provide better feedback to that golfer, and then a steel tip. So we've had that, we've won tour events with it way before anyone else, you know, launched anything to the marketplace, and everything else was just a basic steel part, which to me, you know, like, everyone invests in a driver and then they look at shafts, right? Iron, same thing. Wedges, same thing. Grinds. But the one thing they always do is get a nice putter, which is a, you know, $300-$500 investment in a putter, and they play with the, whatever steel part comes in there. And it's usually, no offense to anyone, but it's usually a cheap part that is just designed just to put in there just to be able to have a, something, a grip on there, right? So when we launched Frequency Filter, that was something unique in the marketplace that felt good. And so years ago, when we went down the avenue of updating that, my goal was, how do we make that aluminum part smaller, you know, less visible, but still has a little bit of visibility from a tech standpoint. But then also, how do we make the part even more stable than what it was before? It was pretty stable, but heads at that time were, you know, 15, 20 years ago were, you know, 330, you know, 300, 330, 340, you know, so it was creeping up slowly. And so today you have these type of putters, you know, Odyssey just released the Cruiser putter, and these things are, you know, 360, 370, 380, 390, 400 grams. So really heavy. And a lot of golfers don't think a shaft has any influence. And if you take, for example, a 300 gram head and a 400 gram head and you stick the same, you know, part in there, you can see how flexible that part is when you get to the 400 gram head. And, you know, studies, you can look at all the studies out there from a 10 foot putt, 15 foot putt, 20 foot putt. The further you go back, the miss hit of maybe, you know, quarter inch, eighth of an inch, whatever it might be, millimeters, you're going to miss a hole. So the goal with All In was really to make something that was stable and felt good, right? Because we tested other parts where, yeah, this was very stable, but it didn't feel good. It was very stiff, very rigid, very dead. Again, some stuff we learned from recall, where feedback from customers was always on the heavy parts, was like, hey, this is very stiff, very dead. So we learned from that. But then what else can we do to make the part even better, right? Meaning, you know, you have all graphite, you have a steel tip part that go over the hosel. Well, what about the single bin? What about the double bin? So that's where the retrofit came in. You know, we tried to come up with a solution. Now we can able to launch something that most 99% of golfers can get into All-In putter shaft. So I think we have a product that is great from a standpoint of being able to fit any golfer out there, any different head combination that they're used to with their double bin, single bin, the retrofit. Now it keeps the same loft and lie. And so, you know, different feel component. You want more feel, go all graphite. You want a little bit more different feel, a little bit more, you know, tingy feel, go to the steel part where you can go over the hosel. So I think there's an option for most golfers out there.
So All In is pretty much the option from UST Mamiya at this point for putter shafts?
Correct, yeah. And we have, like I said, different parts that pretty much can fit
yeah
whatever you need out there.
Okay. What about the opposite side underneath the drivers and fairways? So I feel like hybrids and utilities are becoming a really significant piece of the puzzle for a lot of golfers, especially utilities. But I think a lot of guys would rather it play in flight more like a flatter three wood than anything else. What's the perspective you're seeing, and what are the options people have when they want something like that?
Yeah, I mean, again, you look at what the heads have become with hybrids. It's one of those things where, A, it launches high, great, but it spins like nothing. So we have to come up with a solution that hey, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, you guys, your shaft might be a little too spinning. I'm like, well, most golfers don't spin well enough, right? When you see irons, that's why these irons are now coming with like HL irons, right? High launch irons. Why is that? Because these golfers, they don't hit it, you know, high enough to stay on greens. It's a chase for distance for almost every category now, right? It used to be chase the distance for driver. Now it's chase the distance for fairway, hybrid, iron. So what happens is these golfers who have a slower swing speed struggle. So in our opinion, like, you know, hybrid shafts, you want a little bit more spin on these shafts, whether it's irons, whether it's hybrids. So we try to make something that, you know, in terms of weight category, similar to an iron. We have specific hybrid shafts, but I think, you know, most golfers who are playing like Recoil Dart 65, 75, I would recommend the same thing in terms of their hybrid too as well. So it gets the similar feedback, similar dynamics to, you know, optimize as much as possible for that golfer.
Okay, that's really interesting feedback. That's more or less what I was looking at. The last time I got an iron fitting, I got fit with the same iron shafts and a wedges, but usually when I move into a utility, it's let's switch to a different shaft there, and especially when it comes to a different feedback. I was asking specifically because I know you have a collaboration of sorts with Mizuno for a hybrid shaft with mm-hmm. Link there.
Yep.
And I was curious to see if that was going to expand in any sort of way.
Yeah, I mean, we have Link hybrid shafts for tour, and we do offer like a 85 gram versions in our high end channel. But realistically, most of the golfers that on the aftermarket side who are buying, you know, whether it's a Callaway iron, whatever it is, and Recoil Dart 65, 75. So I think, you know, mirroring that as much as possible would benefit them versus having, you know, a Link 55 or Link 65 hybrid. Because really the profile is going to be real similar to what the iron is anyways. So just trying to, you know, create a consistent brand for that particular golfer.
Okay. I want to ask you something a little bit more lighthearted, I guess, if you will. Shaft up with THP is always an adventure, and yes, it's becoming a little bit iconic. The amount of times you've taken THPers to ridiculous places and change their perspective on the practice range, and then had them go on course and get blown away by your products. It's always a really fun follow. And I'm assuming for you, it's quite a bit of fun to get out of the office and play a little golf as well.
Yeah. I mean, these things are morphed over the year, obviously working with Josh, the golf forum, and just meeting the members and interacting with them is a fun experience. You know, to me, that's what golf is all about. It's just the interaction. The golf is secondary. But, you know, trying to make each member on the golf forum better, right? And that's what ultimately what we're trying to do as golf and in the golf business, try and make these golfers better because they're going to enjoy the game. They're going to start, you know, spending money, whether it's playing golf, you know, buying, you know, apparel at these dormy networks, or, you know, buying more golf balls, whatever it is. It's real cool. And it's great. You know, these guys are like, wow, this is awesome. You know, the whole golf aspect, but the whole camaraderie, competition, the, you know, the food side of things, you know, we get crazy, right? We do stuff that, that's unique. I think that's fun, right? Ultimately, that's what we're trying to do is make as much as, fun as possible. And I think that's where a lot of the forum members engage with USTM and me. I think we try to make it as fun as possible. And, you know, it's not bad. We get to play at Victoria National or Bridge Ranch or Ballyhack or these phenomenal properties where these guys stay on these cottages. They have their own room, little kitchen dinette area, drink, eat, play golf. I mean, that's really an ultimate golf vacation for 99% of the forum members, correct?
Yeah, with a fitting, a world-class fitting, if you will, and linked into it as well. Oh, I did that with the whole link thing. That was great.
There you go.
Have you been surprised, or have you enjoyed the progression of Shaft Up? Is it moving into something that I think works really well for your concept?
Yeah, I think so. I think one of the things that, from a shaft side, from fitting, whatever it might be, we have a ton of people. It's difficult to engage them one-on-one, right? It's fun to have, a dozen people. Then it becomes harder to spend one-on-one time with each individual. And so the good thing is, the size of what we do with these events is nice. It's manageable. We're able to dive into their golf game a little bit more, whether it's a driver fitting, whether it's iron fitting. Talk to them about golf, talk to them about life, talk to them about, pickleball, anything outside of golf, right? Different things where it's unique in terms of these people. Now, I think the members that have participated in Shaft Up hopefully will follow US Team and Me one way or another, right? And help us out as a brand, seeing us as being authentic in terms of engagement with these guys. And, ultimately, we care about how do we make these golfers better. So I think it's the changes over the last decade with Josh and going through different things, different ideas. He always has these crazy ideas, and I'm all like, no man, that's not gonna work. Yeah, that's great. Let's do that. So I think having him be the voice of THB, where he's it's amazing how much time dedication he has to the golf forum, and it's great for us as a sponsor of the forum to be able to participate in it.
Yeah, I love following along. It's always very fascinating to see the reactions of the guys, especially what they get fit into. And in a lot of cases, they're not familiar with the fitting process, so it's a whole new world for them.
Yep.
I do want to ask. Your partnership with JB, this pairing partnership, whatever you want to call it, you have a number of names that have been put up on the forum.
Yep.
Who is the captain of this partnership or this pairing, and who's the anchor?
It depends on the given week, right?
And what the term anchor represents. Like,
anchor? No, I think a lot of it is on his side just because he's kind of crazy. But I think, just some of the stuff that we when we get together, we just throw different things out there, man, it's crazy. And then all of a sudden it sticks. Right. And we talk about it enough where it becomes reality. So, I think a lot of it has to do with him. He's a bad influence. I'll just stick with that. I think I have, things that I rather not say, but over the years we've met since our day at Bridgestone when they first became a golf forum, so we go way back, and so there's a nothing's off the table when we discuss things, right? So that's a good thing, and none of us are offended by different things, and so we're able to truly have a unique relationship in terms of throwing ideas out there, whether it's Team Jew and Me's, whatever we want to call it, it's we have fun with each other. So as long as we do that, I think that translates into the golf form side of it, right?
Yeah. So the idea is you have full autonomy over his golf bag and he has full autonomy over your brain for a minute.
It's kind of scary.
Oh, that's great. Well, hey, listen, I love the progression of Link. It's been super fun. I remember Gunmetal when it first came out in that crazy purple. It was an exciting concept, and I think both of them were done in a way that was like, hey, we really need to look at this. And to see the transition into M40X has been great. I mean, they look fantastic, and I'm hoping that the results continue to show for you guys.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, we're excited about what's happening. Like I said, we launched this in Japan, so I think there's gonna be bigger and better things moving forward with Link. You're gonna start seeing more on the shelves on tour and into the THP golf forum. So we're excited about the brand. We're excited about pretty much all the brands, right? And just the relationship we have with you guys.
Yeah. Hey, if you guys are on the forum this week, we'll have a chat going up. Danny's probably going to sneak in there. He tends to do that from time to time on THP. You'll also catch him at Shaft Up events this year, which are incredibly fun follows in a great way for THPers to go learn a ton about shafts, get fit for some cool stuff. Yeah. Do you have any questions for me, Danny?
I don't.
Oh, what? You're letting me off the hook. Oh, I'm letting
you,
great.
Yeah, I'm letting you off the hook, you know.
And this is after pushing this out a week because my internet died last week. So
no, I'm not going to bring that up.
You've been unbelievably kind. It's fantastic.
No, appreciate the talk. It's always fun.
Definitely. Hey, if you guys are playing golf this weekend, have fun. Make it count. Go check out either Recoil, All In, Link. There's a ton to know about from UST Mimia. So go check it out for yourself. We'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.